This is Dwayne Kaysen, Associate Pastor here at New Berean Baptist Church, where Leroy Ricks Sr. is our Senior Pastor and the Founder, 3600 Bamboo Road, Portsmouth, Virginia. This is our midweek service Bible studies, and we're having a series called Lessons on Growing Up in Christ. We're in part four of our series called Our Assurance of Victory. And our verse today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. We're going to cover three topics. A wise God knows temptations are common to all. A faithful God's promise. And a loving God who's provided a way of escape. We're talking about the assurance of victory as we face temptations. We're going to talk about how God can give us the victory over sin. Have you received Jesus Christ into your life, into your heart? If you have, he's made a promise to love you and forsake you forever. And he's promised you the victory, or the power to have that victory to win over sin. But do you still have those thoughts? Do you still have those wrong things? Is there some habit that seems to touch you or cause you to have issues? Well, there's a reason for that. We're going to find out just what it is and what we can do about it to have that victory over sin. I have a friend who has a phrase. He likes to say, you need to snuggle, don't struggle. Snuggle, don't struggle. So in order to understand that phrase, we need to understand just what the struggle is. So we're going to start by reading our verse. No temptation has taken you except that which is common to man. But God is faithful and will provide a way of escape. You know, he's given us this verse with a promise. So when we admit that we've sinned and understand that God's perfect Son, who gave his blood to pay for our sins, and we were ready to receive him into our lives, he came and he is living in us through the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I am the life. And God's word tells us that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. We talked about that in our part one of our series from 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. So when we received Jesus Christ as Savior, we received a new life. The Bible says that when we became new creatures in Christ, the old is past and the new is come. But listen, what happened to the old life? Did it go away? No, that part is still inside. That's the part that says, I want my own way. That's the part that said, I want to do what I want to do, not what God wants to do. That's the part that resisted God's interference. The Bible says that our old self is still within us, and it will be there as long as we live on this side of heaven. So if we have this new life, if Jesus is living in us, and we have this old life, guess what? Satan still wants you to obey that old life. But you don't have to. Jesus lives in you, and he is greater than Satan. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Well, Peter knows a little bit about that. You might remember a statement that Jesus made to Peter and the fellows as they were sleeping while he was trying to pray on that night before he was arrested. He said that the Spirit is willing, because they were asleep. They were supposed to watch and to pray. And he said to them, watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. I think Peter knows a little bit about that, because that old nature is the flesh. The Bible tells us all about that old man. It's the old carnal nature. We're supposed to take the old nature off and put on the new nature and put that old nature in the closet. But every now and then, just like a friend of ours, wife had a birthday party, and it was going back in the 70s, and people took their old clothes from the 70s. They came out and wore those and had a good time. Well, that's okay for a party, but that's not the way it's supposed to be for us as Christians. When that old man, that old carnal nature comes out, I want you to hear about the flesh. The Bible says that the flesh is a slave to impurity and to lewd sexual acts in Romans chapter 6 and verse 19. The flesh serves the law of sin, Romans 7, 25. The flesh has passions and desires of its own, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. The flesh brings corruption, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8. The flesh has its own wisdom, and I guarantee you it has nothing to do with godly wisdom, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. The flesh wages war against such, 1 Peter chapter 2 and 11. And listen to what Paul has to say in Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. He said there is nothing good in it. The flesh has nothing good in it. He said, for I know that good itself does not dwell in me. He's talking about that sinful nature. For I have desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. That which I would, I do not. We need to clean that closet out and leave dress night for another day. You see, the bottom line is this: to overcome those habitual sins, we must put off the old man, that fleshy nature, and put on the new man and learn to walk in the Spirit. That way, we're not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. So, what we want to do is look at this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. The carelessness that we have when we start to not stay in the Word, when we are not perhaps praying as we ought, when we're not in fellowship as we ought, we begin to get careless with it. And in fact, that carelessness increases the opportunity for temptation, and that leads into the resistance to sin sort of melting away. The Bible says that this temptation that we have has a negative connotation. It becomes the proof of righteousness, like Abraham when he was preparing to kill his son in the test that he was going to. But there's a different kind of test, and that's the one we're talking about today. These are the temptations. See, these are inducement to evil, and it's dependent on us and our response. God does not tempt us to do evil. It's our response to sin that is all on our own. We are led to it. Satan may be the deceiver. He may point us the way, but it's our own lust that leads us down the road. Whether it's an environment that we live in, whether it's other things that we may see or be around that leads us to these things, if we resist it in God's power, it's a test. And that proves our faithfulness. But if we don't resist it, it becomes a solicitation to sin. That word sin there means to miss the mark. So it's not true that the devil made me do it. That's old Flip Wilson, but no, that has to do with our yielding to temptation. And when we do, when we yield to temptation, that leads to the birth of sin. But God has some wonderful news for you. I'm going to tell you what. He says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we're going to talk about truth today. There's no greater happiness than to know that we are free from the guilt, from fear, from anxiety, from the slavery of sin, and from Satan's evil temptations that can keep you from enjoying all that God has for us. Temptation is a tool of the enemy. He uses it to lure us, to discourage us, to distract us from the abundant life that God wants us to have. And nobody is going to be exempt from temptation. There's no spiritual person in the world where Satan can't find them. Even Jesus, the sinless Son of God, in Matthew 4 and in Luke 4, experienced temptation. Paul, the great apostle himself, even he said that he found it tough because temptation was on record everywhere. Paul even said that he was the chief of sinners. That's why this verse applies to us Christians, because we need to know that if we do fail, we have an advocate with the Father, his Son Jesus Christ, the righteous one, in 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2. His Son, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, his atoning sacrifice on Calvary for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world, puts in a great standing. But what about that sin? Somebody's going to say, well, Brother Kaysen, nobody's ever gone through what I'm going through. Nobody's ever seen anything like this. You don't know what it's like to be tempted like this. You ever felt that way? Sometimes we think that, don't we? But let me tell you something. The Bible says that there's no temptation that has taken us or seized us except that which is common to man. God is letting us know, no, you're not so special that you have a special temptation. Through all these years, whether it's from Cain on up to the last person being born at the time of this message, this Bible study, sin has been around, and the temptation is common to all men. There's no new thing under the sun, according to King Solomon in Ecclesiastes 1:9. No new thing under the sun. It's normal to feel isolated when we go through our struggles, our trials. We get that. But let me assure you, according to the Word of God, there is no temptation except that which is common to man. But let me tell you that 1 Corinthians 1:9 says that God is faithful. He is faithful. We were called to fellowship of his Son. So, in 2 Peter, it says that the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3 says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And it's because of his faithfulness that the Lord will not allow us to be tempted above that which we're able to handle. And I say that realizing that it's tough to imagine that, but that's the promise that God has given us. So let's go through these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 13. There is no temptation that has taken you except that which is common to man. God expects us to confess our sins to him. That's what God wants us to do. Now, when I was a kid, my mom used to have these things called Sloppy Joe. If you know what a Sloppy Joe is, it's, at least where we were coming up, you had some hamburger buns, and you had this manwich-type sauce and some hamburger. You mixed it all up, and it wasn't in a nice form like a hamburger. It went all over the sandwich. And if you're trying to eat it, it's going all over the place. So they called it a Sloppy Joe. Christians who become self-confident become less dependent on God's word and become slothful and sloppy. Don't be a Sloppy Joe Christian. Don't do that. What does it mean to confess? What does it mean to confess? The Greek word is ham, o, la, e, ho. Ham, o, la, ge, ho. It means to say the same thing. It means to confess and to admit or declare oneself as guilty. That's what happens when we're guilty of our sins. But I want you to know that God has given us this verse in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. So let's go and take a look at that. Let's unpack that verse. I've got my iPad here, and I want to take a look at that. We're going to look into 1 Corinthians 10, 13. No temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. We talked about that. We also talked about how God is faithful and will not let you be tempted beyond that which you can bear. That cross that Jesus was hung on, he had spikes in his hands, and he had spikes in his feet. So there were several points of pressure. Now, if you want to talk about how this works when you hang something on a wall, you need a certain amount of fasteners. Let's say you're hanging up a picture. You use one nail. That nail is rated for a certain amount of weight. So you can hang a picture on one nail, but you can't hang an elephant on the wall with a nail. The nail's not strong enough. But let me tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was hung up on the tree, he took all the load of sin in his own body. He was able to bear all of that sin for us. And because he did that, he opened up a way for you and I to have salvation based on the shed blood of Jesus on the cross being the propitiation or the satisfaction of God's desire to have all of the cup of wrath that he took figuratively on the cross to pay for all the sins for all men from past, present, and the future. He did that. And because he did that, he's now opened it up to us so that this sin that we're talking about, Jesus Christ, who had a body of his own that was manufactured, tested in the wilderness, his body was tested when he hungered, his body was tested when he, as the great high priest, was tempted at every point. His body was tested. So he knows the limitations of our bodies. when those temptations come and Satan sends them our way. But because he knows our body and he knows that the temptations are common to all men, he's seen them all. What the Bible is telling us is that he will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. It's not on us. The sin is not on us. He's the one who took the sin. He recognizes the limitations that we have in these frail bodies. He understands the old man and the new man. And the Bible says that he will not let us be tempted beyond what we are able to bear. But listen to this. The Bible says that he will provide a way out in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. He will provide a way out. I want you to know that the Bible says that he is faithful. He understands the areas of temptation in our life. And he understands that we have limitations. And he then provides a way out. Let's look at some things that we can do when it comes to a way out. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 32, gives us some hints about how to put that old life, that old man, back in the closet. Jesus will help us and help us have those victories. Choose not to lie, in verse 25. That means decide to tell the truth. I mean, it's a choice. We can resist Satan's temptation to hold anger in our heart. You don't have to give in to him. You can get rid of your anger before you go to bed. That's what the Bible tells us. If you need to, go to the person who has upset you. That's Bible, folks. That doesn't mean gossip up in the hall when you see him. When you cannot seem to do that, take your anger to God and give it to him. He'll help you forgive and forget in verse 26. In verse 28, we can refuse to steal. Now, some people say, well, I don't really steal anything. Christians do steal, unfortunately. We do that. Some of us steal things in our own house from somebody else when they eat their food when they were waiting for it. They go look for the ice cream and it's gone. We can say no to the foul language. Oh, I know sometimes people say, well, that, you know, it kind of slipped out. It didn't slip out. Don't talk back to people. Don't talk back to your wife. Don't talk back to your husband. Don't talk back to your parents. You don't have to tell those stories. You don't have to listen in. You don't have to curse or swear. You can say no. You can respond to the Holy Spirit's conviction instead of letting it go. You can face the sin, confess it, and forsake it. I was going to 7-Eleven, and from work I had a big old spoon that I slipped in my pocket because I thought that I was going to stop at 7-Eleven and get my gas. Then I go in and get me some ice cream that I know I'm not supposed to eat, some pecan ice cream. I was thirsting for it, and I got to 7-Eleven. I went in. I paid for the soda, diet soda. I left the ice cream in there and put the gas in my car. I knew I wasn't supposed to do it. I made a choice. We can determine not to be kind, or we can determine to be kind. We can determine ourselves whether to be forgiving or unforgiving. We need to walk in the Spirit. When we do that, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Two guys, David, he was supposed to be out fighting wars, but he decided he was going to stay home. And he started walking out on his roof. He saw a woman taking a bath on the roof. And he got the message to her to come over. And the Bible tells us that he committed adultery. And then when she became pregnant with child, he managed to have her husband killed on the battlefield. He made the wrong choice. Joseph, who was not a king, but was a slave, was approached by his master's wife. And she, day after day, was after him to come to bed with her. But his choice was to honor God and to honor the marriage that the husband had for the wife. He did not want to violate that husband's trust, and he did not want to hurt God. So when she grabbed him, he ran, left the coat in his hand, and he ended up being accused of assaulting her and spent time in prison before he became the second in command there in Egypt. And I always wondered if he ever did anything back to that lady for what she did to him, but I assume he did not do that. But I always wondered that. But you see, these are two guys. One made a choice, the wrong choice, and he suffered the consequences. The other made a choice to do what God would say do, and he ended up being blessed in the end, according to God's plan for his life. So there's a way out. God always provides a way out. Guess what? We have a choice to take that way out. The Bible tells us there are other things that we can look at. Psalms 119 and verse 11 says, how can a young man cleanse his way? It says, by taking heed, grabbing hold of it according to your word. Verse 10 says, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, sometimes people leave church and they hide their Bibles in the trunk. Well, you need to take the word of God and hide it in your heart. Just because you don't want to not have your Bible next Sunday so you know you hid it in your trunk. But you need to take it out and start using it. Start reading it and hiding the word in the heart that we might not sin against God. Jesus was a example of this when he had the victory over Satan there in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4 says that then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. May I point out to you that Jesus was in preparation mode. He wasn't like Peter and the boys. He was watching and he was praying. So his spirit was willing, even though his flesh was weak from being hungry for 40 days with no food. But in verse 2 it says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Verse 3, now the tempter came to him, that's old Satan. He said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And Jesus said in verse 4, and he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The Bible says that we have these ways of escape. God has an escape plan for us. We also have this special armor that he's provided. Yes, we ought to put on the new man and put the old man in the closet. But just because we are equipped and clothed with the righteousness of Christ, that's not the only wardrobe that we have. We have some special armor that he's provided. And the Bible tells us that we need to put on this armor. When we do that, we're able to protect ourselves with this special armor. We find that in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 8. You can put that armor on. I want you to listen to these following points as we get ready to close. Think about this. Say to yourself, I cannot win over sin on my own strength. Paul points it out in Romans 7:18. Jesus lives in me to give me the victory. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Romans 7, verses 24 through 25. Think about this. Through him, I can put off my old life. We talked about Ephesians chapter 4, 22 through 32. I must choose. I must make a decision to obey the Lord. I can choose to obey when I submit to God, James 4, 7. I can choose to obey when I resist the devil and I say no to sin. I can choose to obey by quoting scriptures as we just saw Jesus do there in Matthew 4. I can show that I believe when I pray as Jesus told us to pray, to deliver us from the evil one. We can thank God for the victory that he gives us. Listen to what this verse says. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. For death no longer has dominion over him, our master. In verse 10 of Romans chapter 6 says, for the death that he died to sin, how much? Once and for all. But the life he lives to God. We were crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. It is this Christ who lives in me that I can lean on when I'm going through rough times. It's that Christ who lives in me that allows me to have this assurance of victory. Our verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He's faithful to his word. He's faithful to keep his promises. And he says he will not let you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when we are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. I want you to know that you can have the assurance of victory. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. And that concludes our study for today. I hope that you take that verse, take some of the scriptures that we spoke about, go back and review it, and see what God has to say to you concerning the assurance of victory. And I hope that you will confirm, as we have in this Bible study, that it's true and that God's promise is made for you. I want you to have the assurance of victory.